College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Marks-Corps, Chris Ranji on KMOX. It is the Billiken Blizzard tonight at Chaffetz Arena. It will be the Billikens against Dayton. It is brought to you by Summer at SLU. So we are at the Billiken Grill at the Bush Student Center at
SLU. The Grillikin.
Or the Bill Grill. So we're down here. If you want to come see us, we're going to be with you until 1 o'clock today. We are very happy to be joined now by Robbie Avila, who is on the SLU men's basketball team. Are you still? You're not really a newcomer anymore, right?
No, I think I got enough time.
Do you say newcomer?
No.
Okay.
No, because he's not 100 years old.
Well, I mean, he's new.
Here's our newcomer.
New here-ish. Yeah. Anyway, so the transitions. I mean, you've been here for a while now. You feel completely settled in.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, the first semester was kind of, you know, the time I think that it took for me to, you know, get used to my area and get used to a new place. But I think, obviously, with the guys that we have on the team that have been here and, you know, the familiarity with Coach Church, you know, it was kind of an easy transition for me.
Had you been to St. Louis much when you decided, all right, I'm going to follow Coach Church, head to St. Louis? Was it a new city to you? Was it a bit nerve-wracking?
The only times that I actually been to St. Louis prior to coming here was when we played our conference tournament here at Indiana State the 2 years before then. And so, you know, it's only been those two times. You know, obviously I'm from Chicago, so, you know, I'm used to a bigger city. But, you know, St. Louis was almost brand new to me.
Yeah, that is you had been here before, but you don't really get to experience a city when you're in a conference tournament, right? You're pretty much hotel, practice, play a game, and that's about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're kind of stuck to your schedule there. You know, obviously you're there to win games. You're not really explore the city, and so I didn't really get to get out and see anything besides, you know, the Enterprise Center and the hotel that we stood in. So I definitely wasn't used to it until now.
So for you, you had the injury at the beginning of the season. Everything seems to be perfectly fine. Any lingering effects, or you're all good?
No, I'm all good. Obviously, it was, you know, hard early on in the year, but you know, I took my time. Our trainer staff's got us, you know, got me ready, and you know, I'm ready to finish the rest of the season.
As an athlete, like you said, you came here not familiar with St. Louis. It's something new. That's a challenge in and of itself. But then to get hurt on that first day, how did you adjust your mentality to stay positive and to get through it?
Yeah, it was definitely hard, but I think a couple reasons. One, trusting God's plan. You know, obviously, you know, he has a plan for me, and I trust him always. And then just having the guys around me, you know, they really corralled around me, showed me that they were there for me. You know, obviously, Coach Church, you know, I've known for some years, and so he, you know, really put his arms around me. And so I think just the mix of those two, you know, allowed me to continue to stay positive and get ready to get back on the court.
It's college basketball, so it's not unusual to have different teammates from year to year, and you have to adjust to that. But you went to a completely new program. Do you feel like it took you a little bit of time to really, you know, figure out your teammates, even though you're with the same coach? It's not like you had to learn from a different person, but you still had different teammates to deal with.
Yeah, and obviously it's definitely a process. You know, that's what I think the whole point of getting in the summer is for, is, you know, to not only just work on the, you know, the X's and O's and stuff that you're going to do on the court, but also just become closer as a team, you know, with the guys that you're going to be playing with for the next, you know, 9 to 10 months. And so you know, we really spent that time, you know, in the summer and early in the fall, and even still now, you know, really building those relationships, because we think that in order to win, you know, in order to be a really, really good team, you know, you have to be close with your teammates. You know, you got to like one another. You got to, you know, really care for one another, because that's, you know, really the strength behind a team is when you're going out there playing for each other, not playing for yourself. And so, you know, we built these relationships, and I think we got a really strong bond on this team now.
You know, there was so much excitement for you coming to St. Louis, not only because you're just an extraordinary player and you're coming with a great coach in Josh Schertz, but you're also a lot of fun. You're fun to watch, and the nicknames add to the whole mystique of it all. Do you get a kick out of it? I mean, with Kareem Abdul and all of these nicknames, I mean, fans love it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it's you got to have fun with it. You know, some people might, you know, take it a little bit more personally than what it is, and you know, I don't. I think it's important to have fun with things like this. You know, obviously fans are giving you nicknames because they like you.
Yeah.
And so you know, I enjoy them. It's awesome to be, you know, compared to all these, you know, NBA greats and all these nicknames. And so, you know, I have fun. I think the most fun that I have with it is just watching my friends and family, you know, enjoy it a little bit more. You know, they send me all the stuff. They send me all the nicknames, all the new ones, what these guys say. And so, you know, it's just awesome to see everybody around me, you know, get joy from me just playing basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's endearing. That's awesome. I don't have a nickname.
Yeah, I don't either. Which one's your favorite so far?
My favorite's always going to be Rob Wave. I like my artist, but
Rob Wave.
But unfortunately, it's not much of a fan favorite. I'm still pushing on it, but you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is obviously the most creative
such
one.
That's such a good one.
The first time I heard that one, I thought, oh my God, no, come on. I don't know who did that, but
yeah,
good for you.
I found out there was somebody, it was like a writer, a sports writer from Kentucky that put it out there on Twitter, and it kind of stuck, and everybody just started reposting it, and it got all over the place. And so, yeah, it went from there.
Well, and in all seriousness, like I always say, people love a spectacle. You know, when Wayne Gretzky came to the Blues, even those who didn't watch hockey started watching, and kids pick up the sport. I really think there's something about the nicknames, the fun, the quote-unquote brand that you have, that kids could start playing basketball because they're watching the Billikens, because they're watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and they think it's cool. And so I do think it goes beyond nicknames to it brings new eyeballs. It brings new people to the sport thinking, this is so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Coach Schertz, you know, hits on that big with the team, you know, knowing your the profile you have, you know, knowing your platform and using it for the right way. And so, you know, we obviously want to be the best basketball team, you know, the best, you know, team in the conference, in the country, you know, whatever. But we also want to be the best people and set those examples and role models for the kids, you know, the newer generation. And so, you know, we are aware of, you know, what kind of platform we have, you know, being, you know, the basketball team in St. Louis, you know, having kids coming to watch, you know, and that's why we always try to take time, you know, before the games, after the games, you know, to sign autographs, take pictures. You know, it's important, you know, to show these kids, you know, that that we care, that we're human beings too. And so, you know, that's something big that we focus on here.
Is somebody you modeled your game after?
I think that MVP Nikola Jokic. I think.
Oh yeah.
He's not bad. He's a good guy, but yeah.
You've been called the college Jokic, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of times. I'm nowhere near as good as he is.
That's
but,
awesome.
No, it's awesome. But you know, we watch a lot of NBA clips as a team, and so you know, between him, you know, Sabonis, I watch a lot. Al Horford.
Defensively. Yeah.
You know, obviously those guys. You know, I think it's really big to be able to see what a pro does. You know, so that you can try and model what they do.
All right, I'm going to ask you this. You said you're from Chicago. So you're a Bulls fan, I'm guessing. Did you grow up one?
Oh wait,
he's
hesitating.
Dude,
I'm not a Bulls fan. I'm a Warriors fan. I like the Warriors.
Okay,
I got a lot of stuff with my dad with it, but
okay,
is what it is.
Okay, that's fine. I have a couple of Golden State hats. I like watching the Warriors play. They've been a lot of fun. How did that happen?
So growing up, when I first started playing, you know, the 2Ks that came out, you know, Monte Ellis was on the game. And so I really loved Monte Ellis.
Yep.
And he kind of, that's when Kurt Curry was, you know, the next coming to Monte Ellis. And then so kind of went from there.
So I was assuming that you're a Bulls fan. And my question was going to be to you, because you grew up in the LeBron era when he was the best.
LeBron.
Right. So there's always the Jordan versus LeBron debate, and I was going to ask you.
LeBron. LeBron. There's no debate.
Okay.
Ron just saying fine, but he's got tears.
Nah,
there are tears running down
his
face.
It's hard to accept it, but, but LeBron's number
one. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it, Robbie, to see him cry?
It's okay.
It's okay.
Okay, I mean, it's not. It's fine. Young people are fine. Whatever.
Whatever, you know, I don't care.
Just,
you know what? I don't even know why I'm here right now.
Yeah, well, I don't. Okay. No, I get it. There's the combination of size and speed and strength and all of that. Nobody's ever had that before, really. Dude.
That's all right.
Okay.
It's hard to accept nowadays, but it's okay. You know, we'll move on with LeBron being number one. Jordan's a close second, though.
Close second.
All right. Is this a conversation you guys have on the team? Do you talk about stuff like this?
Yeah, we mix conversations. Our conversations go all over the place. You know, we got a lot of interesting guys on the team, mixture of some older guys and some younger guys with the freshmen. And so, you know, we just enjoy each other's presence and, you know, try to have a lot of fun.
What's one of the more interesting conversations you've had where you're sitting there going, I can't believe we're talking about this right now?
I don't know. Sometimes after games, KT gets like a burst of adrenaline and just starts, you know, wilding out. I don't know what he does. You know, he starts interacting. I missed half the convo. I'll come back from like media and he'll be like demonstrating something. And then I don't know what's going on. And then we got some of our managers that like to rap. And so they'll come in and, you know, freestyle for a little bit. And so, you know, our post games after wins are very interesting, to say
the least. Wait, if KT's demonstrating, like, science-wise?
I don't know what he's doing. Like, he's reenacting.
He's got
like
a whiteboard.
Some motion or some story that he was telling. Like I said, I come in, like, halfway through the conversation, so I don't fully get it. But then I just know there's, like, a crowd around KT while he's, like, doing some weird things.
Who's the guy that cracks the team up? Who's the funniest?
KT's pretty funny. I won't lie. He's hilarious. I'll say Isaac. Isaac's pretty funny too. You know, we sometimes joke around. Swope's like undercover funny, just because like he won't show his emotions. Like he's one of those guys like you can't.
He's a deadpan, yeah.
Yeah, and so like he'll say something and people will laugh, but he won't laugh even though it was on joke. But yeah, no, yeah. We got some funny guys on the team.
All right, so what are you gonna do for the rest of the day before the game?
I'm gonna relax.
Okay.
Mentally prepare. Go grab some food and call it a day.
You got a superstition, you said?
Not really a superstition before, like shoot-arounds and stuff, like the day of the game. It's really mainly like once we're done with shoot-around, I have a spot in the trainer's room that I lay down, and I just stay there until it's ready to warm up. But that's about it.
I don't know if this isn't your type of fuel or not. I used to work with the St. Louis Blues, the hockey team, and it was kind of like a Qdoba or Chipotle debate. A lot of the young guys, big Qdoba. Mm-hmm. Do you like either?
At first, I didn't like either. So Coach Hurst's wife, Miss Nat, would always get mad at me because whenever we used to go to Chipotle, I used to say, oh, I don't like it. But then I tried it once, and it actually is pretty good. And so now she gets me stuff about it all the time. But, yeah, no, I love Chipotle. Chipotle's really good.
All right.
Well, good luck tonight. You've got Dayton. Game starts at 6 o'clock. We got a pregame at 5:45, by the way. Go get them, man.
Yes,
thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX from the Billiken Grill at St. Louis University, ahead of the Billiken Blizzard game tonight at Chaffetz against Dayton. Mm-hmm. Again, brought to you by Summer at SLU. But it is time for us to visit with our weekly Friday guest. He joins us every Friday to talk Chiefs football. Danan Hughes, former receiver and current radio analyst on the Kansas City Chiefs side. Danan is with us on KMOX. What's up, man?
What's going on, people? You are are you as excited as I am? We did what Amy told us to do last week. What did we do, Amy?
We punched him in the mouth, Danan.
We hit him in the mouth. That's right. We hit the Bills again in the mouth.
Why do I keep getting one word wrong? What is wrong with me? Anyway, hit him in the mouth.
I tried to tee it up. Yep, I tried to tee it up for you. There we go. That's all right.
Danan, like you can tee it up, but you can't make him swing. You can't make him hit a home run.
Yeah. Well, so we're about to enter Super Bowl week here, Danan. What is the best part of Super Bowl week for you?
Oh, man, that's a good question because especially going down to New Orleans, one of my favorite restaurants, Ruth Chris, originated down there. So give me a good steak. There's a couple other restaurants I want to go to. Opening ceremonies is really cool as well. But the game, I think it's really about the game. As soon as Monday hits, you hope that Sunday comes quick. And you get, especially when you're talking about making history, and all that's going to be talked about. I think we're going to have information overload by the time the game comes, and you're just going to want to be – you want the game to happen. I interviewed DeAndre Hopkins right after the game, the AFC Championship game, because he was one of the three guys I interviewed. The other two were players that have been on the last two championship teams. So I went specifically to him. I was like, dude, you're a 12-year vet. Like, did you ever think that this was going to happen? Did you think that your time had passed and you missed the opportunities? And he said, yeah, I started to think about it a little bit. But then when I got the blessing of coming to this organization. And you, once you get in the building, you start to realize what championship mindset, championship preparation is. And he had like a renewed energy about it. And I specifically asked him, I said, do you wish that the game was like tomorrow? And as a true veteran, he said, nah, man, I need a break. I need some rest. So contrary to most other young players where they want to play right away, at least the old vet wants to get some rest and get his legs back under him. But I think that's what the Super Bowl week is about. Is as soon as you get to Monday, you enjoy the festivities early in the week, and then you're like, okay, let's get the game going.
All right, what is the curfew situation for the Chiefs this week, and are you going to be breaking it?
So my curfew is non-existent.
I don't know about that. I think you should have a curfew, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
So here's the question to you guys. Going from Monday through Sunday, what should be my curfew? Because I am a team player. I help Amy with the hit him in the mouth.
Yeah.
I helped you guys. I helped you guys with the happy home. What was it? Happy husband, happy home.
Something like that. Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Well, all right. So here's. I'll tell you what. I think you should be in bed winding down by 9:15, and I would like for you a hard stop for the day at 10:15. You need to be asleep by 10:15.
Okay. So we have this on record. You're saying I should be in bed by 9:15 a.m.
No.
And sleep by 10 a.m. in New Orleans.
Well,
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Oh, yeah. 9:15 yeah. He'll be at the cat's meow until 8:15.
Yeah. No, here's what I think. I think you should start 4 a.m., right, the first night. 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 1 a.m.
Work your way down.
Midnight. Work your way down so that you're rested, right, for the Super Bowl. But you start at 4 a.m. and then just come back slightly earlier each night until the night before the Super Bowl. I feel like that is incredibly responsible.
That would be responsible. So no 9:15 a.m. That's what
you're saying. Danan, I will say this. I have never been to another Super Bowl city during Super Bowl week other than New Orleans, but I have a very difficult time thinking it's better anywhere else except maybe Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas and Scottsdale is pretty strong. Vegas is strong, obviously the strongest because nothing ever shuts down there. So, yeah, I'll be responsible for all the listeners that are worried and concerned about me, making sure that I'll be strong-voiced and ready to go and prepared for the Super Bowl. I will be responsible, and my wife is coming down later in the week, so we will both be responsible. I'll put my best effort forward for us to make history.
We know you will.
And Danan, like, I just read this story.
I'll tell you the truth off air.
Dana, I just read the story in The Athletic about how Patrick Mahomes becomes like a superhero. He gets so in the zone. It becomes otherworldly before a game. Now, you've got all the hype and all the excitement of the Super Bowl for an entire week. It's got to be, I guess, a kind of balancing act for the players. Do they try to isolate themselves from all of that? Do they try to enjoy a little bit of it? How do you balance that as a player?
Yeah, I think, first of all, players are creatures of routine. They're creatures of habit. And whatever got you there is what you do, and whether that's a superstition or it's routine, some guys will attribute either to their success and maybe some failures. And I think that where we stand with this team, because of the consistent success that they have had, I don't think that the moment gets too big, so I don't think the week gets too big. I know they'll have special reservations and private rooms at different restaurants. They may have one night where they'll go out, the entire offensive line goes out. The entire running back group goes out on their own as a group. But other than that, like, they recognize that, you know, especially nowadays, I couldn't say this about the times when I played, because we didn't have, we barely had cell phones, never mind cameras. But now with the, you know that if I'm sitting at a bar during the week, there could be somebody across the room recording me, and I don't even know it, and post it on social media. So I think the awareness of the players, especially since they've been here before, and they, like we just mentioned, they've been in Vegas. So if you can be in Vegas and Scottsdale and South Beach for your three Super Bowl appearances, I don't count Tampa because that was during COVID. But those three Super Bowl appearances, I think you can handle New Orleans, and you also can recognize what's at stake socially. So I think they'll be more apt to be responsible. So I anticipate just group dinners, and that's probably the length of it.
That's really a great point. I was just telling you about being in New Orleans. I was there for the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl that happened 2002, and there was no such thing as camera phones. And you don't really think about that for athletes. They could do things, and you know, maybe somebody saw them do something, but it wouldn't be plastered all over the internet if they did, right? So this is a very different era. Something you don't really think about all that much.
And misconstrued as well. Think about how people can manipulate it. I could take a video of Patrick Mahomes toasting with his buddies on Monday, post it on Sunday, and say it was Saturday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be aware of stuff like that. And I think these guys recognize that. We hadn't had any crazy stories from those other three venues, so I don't anticipate that being an issue this one. I would say that this one, because of what's on the line, the guys will be probably more conservative or more reserved this time than they probably were in the previous stints and opportunities at the Super Bowl. That's just my guess. Yeah. But at the same time, it's well, we'd say once in a lifetime. This is fourth in a lifetime opportunity for a lot of these guys. So they're going to savor it early in the week, and then they'll be dialed in as the game approaches.
All right, Danan, we are giving you a hard stop at 10 p.m. every night in New Orleans. We appreciate your time. We will talk to you next Friday ahead of the game, the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Thank you again, my friend.
Why'd you have to add p.m. on that? That's not good.
Well, I'm just trying. I'm looking out for you.
Appreciate
I'm looking
it.
Out for you.
Go Chiefs.
Yeah.
Hit him in the mouth.
Hit him in the mouth.
Yeah. Go,
but don't. Yeah.
Hit him in the mouth, baby. Hit
no,
him
don't,
in the
don't.
Mouth.
You'll end up in jail. Don't hit anybody in the mouth. That's Danan Hughes, Kansas City Chiefs, former receiver, now radio analyst. Yeah, the Billiken Blizzard tonight at Chaffetz Arena, presented by Summer at SLU. We, that means Amy and me, Chris Ranji, we are broadcasting from the Billiken Grill at the Bush Student Center on campus, and it is time to go back to the guest line. We got a lot to talk about with our guy Mike Claiborne, who joins us every Friday. No Claibs. We do not have Claibs. He's not with us right now, but we're gonna talk to him in a little bit. This is what they call, Amy, efforting.
Mm-hmm.
We are efforting Mike Claiborne, who will join us here.
It was fun to chat with Robbie Avila.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first time I've met him since he's gotten here. So, and that Billiken's Blizzard game, there's like a dozen tickets left. That's
yeah,
it.
We...
It's almost, it might be a sellout now.
Yeah.
But as of just a few minutes ago...
Yeah,
there were
just
fewer than 20 tickets.
It was
left.
Something like, yes, it was 18 tickets as of about 10 minutes ago.
Do you have white pants?
Do I have white pants? No, I don't.
You know what?
I don't think I've ever owned white pants.
Do they sell white painter's pants at like Home Depot?
They might.
Or like a white painter's overalls? That's what I would do.
What about a white apron?
Well... Yeah.
Tonight is
not
a whiteout game.
Pants.
Yeah, so they want people to wear white tonight.
Yeah. We also want to hear from you, 314-436-7900, to text us.
Yep.
If you text us, we would love to hear from you. So you said that you've only known New Orleans as a Super Bowl town. Did you go there?
Yeah, it's the only time I've been to a city during Super Bowl week.
Was that Super Bowl 36?
I don't know what the number is. Whatever the
Spygate.
One. Where the Rams lost to the Patriots on the kick at the very end.
That was Spygate.
Yeah, I guess it was
Spygate. Because they won 34.
And I will tell you this. Man.
Was there an ice storm?
Not while I was there. that I remember. It was pretty temperate. I don't even know if I had to wear a jacket out and about, but it was cool, well, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do know this. And it, you know, if you don't have a lot of experiences, it's really difficult to say, if you've been to one place, to say, well, this is the best in the whole world. But I feel very confident that New Orleans, as a host city for whether it's Sugar Bowl, Final Four, tournament, Super Bowl, whatever, it has to be one of the best cities to host something. It's just, it's unreal.
You know who would know and have an experienced opinion on
Mike
this?
Mike Claiborne.
He would.
He joins us now on the guest line. What's up, Claibs?
All good in my neighborhood. Hey. We're here. We're on a Cardinal cruise right now.
Oh, and, yeah, the Cardinals
wait,
cruise.
Wait, you're on a boat?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm on the, it's a Holland America shipping line. I forgot the name of it. I should know it by now. We've been on it for 6 days. But, yeah, we're anchored right off of a little small little private island they call Half Moon Key in the Bahamas.
Oh, that's nice.
And so we're just hanging out. Yeah.
What? Have you ever gotten seasick?
Knock on wood, no.
Okay.
And I
what about
probably
this?
Have 30 cruises under my belt, and I've been lucky enough not to have it.
I've got an. I have an idea.
Cruises.
I have an idea. I'm gonna run it by you, Claibs. Tell me what you think. Next year's Cardinals cruise on a Maersk cargo ship. Like
through the Suez Canal.
No.
Oh.
Probably
no, because I don't want it to
happen.
Get stuck. No. I mean the accommodations. Plenty of space.
Well, yeah, but you know these. You know what they put a lot of time and effort in building these ships, and they're very comfortable. Yeah. You know, I remember when I was younger, I'd take my kids, and we all had a good time. We all got along. So they really put a lot of detail into these ships and building them now.
Hey, Claibs, we were just talking with Danan Hughes of the Chiefs radio broadcast, and
Danan Hughes, I know him well.
Oh my gosh, he's the best. And talking about Super Bowl cities, and Ranj made a good point that it's hard to argue with, but New Orleans, when it comes to an event like this, has got to be one of, if not the best cities to host a Super Bowl other than Las Vegas.
And before you mention or talk about this, Claibs, I'm assuming you were there for Rams-Patriots. Did you go to New Orleans for that?
No, okay. I did not go. But I've been to Super Bowls there before, and I agree with you that New Orleans probably knows how to put on an event better than anybody else in the country because of the Super Bowl, the bowl games, the Final Fours, Mardi Gras, all those other things that, you know, they have real experience in. And it's one of my favorite places to go for an event.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So with this Super Bowl coming up, Claibs, you've spent time, you know, in the Super Bowl cities, Radio Row, all of that. For the athletes, how hard is it, in your mind, for them to just stay focused? I guess you can't completely isolate.
Yeah, you know, it's changed over the years where, you know, athletes were able to get around town a little bit more and get out. And they started to bear down as the week got closer to the game. But now, you know, they're kind of – everything is scheduled for them. And it's really, you know, it's obviously a great honor to play in one, but I think all the things leading up to it it can't be as much fun as it used to be, because as I said, everything is structured, everything is scheduled. Mm-hmm. You have family, you have friends now that come there, and you know a lot of teams now will tell you right before you go to the Super Bowl, let somebody else handle the tickets, let somebody else do this, this, and that. You know, you're going to have friends and family members that are going to just show up and expect you to be like the tour guide. But you're actually there to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, you know, the league and the team schedules a lot of things that are probably more private than being in public where, you know, you won't see too many offensive linemen going somewhere and trying to see who can drink the most beer. You won't see Patrick Mahomes just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's just too many things that can go wrong these days. And it can become a real distraction. And, you know, the teams go over, all right, here are the do's and don'ts while we're here. You know, and really they put more of their work in their home city as far as practice and game planning is concerned compared to when they get to the city and practice at the facilities that's provided to them. So, yeah, it's really it's unfortunate that the guys can't enjoy the game as much as they used to. But you know, it is what we, it is what it is. And, you know, I think just being part of one of those things has got to be a lot of fun, but I just don't know if you can have as much fun as you used to.
Well, you can have a good time. And I feel like this is one of those events that you would have a story of, well, when I went to the Super Bowl and watched the Super Bowl with Michael Jordan or something like that.
That's a good question.
Who's the most famous person you've watched the Super Bowl with?
Boy, that's a really good question. I don't have an answer for. Gosh, you know, I'm going to tell you the coolest thing about the Super Bowl isn't the game. It's all the events that lead up to it. Like Lee Steinberg, well-known football agent, would have these parties at different places. I remember one year he had it at the zoo, the Phoenix Zoo. And, you know, you're standing there and there's a llama walking by or whatever. I mean, it was some very unique places. And I think that the Super Bowl parties are more fun than the game itself. There have been years where I've gone to the Super Bowl for the week and come home on Saturday night or Sunday morning and watch the game at home. You know, because the game, to me, the best place to watch the game is at home, because think about what they charge for tickets now.
Yeah.
And where you're sitting, it's just too much of a cluster for me to want to be part of something like that.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned the Phoenix Zoo, inferior to the St. Louis Zoo. I just want people to know that, as pretty much every other zoo is inferior to ours.
The St. Louis Zoo is probably the best. It's been one of the best zoos I've been to.
Although, best in the world.
Although the San Diego's pretty good, too. Because they had a honey badger. And
do we not have a honey badger?
Darren Matthew was there?
No, we didn't. We didn't. Oh. So you'll love this story. This is 2006. We're in the playoffs. And Mike Shannon wanted to go to the racetrack or play golf or something. And I said, I'm going to the zoo. He said, well, we have a zoo in St. Louis. I said, yeah, but they don't have a honey badger. And so he said, honey badger. So I showed him what a honey badger did. He called the golf course, said, hey, I'm not coming today. We're going to the zoo. And he and I went to the zoo, and I had set it up with a guy who was a curator at the zoo in San Diego. I had him on our radio show when I was working at another station, and he was talking about, yeah, we're the only ones that have a honey badger. So we went out and saw a honey badger, and if you don't know anything about a honey badger, look him up, or her. Maybe one of the most ferocious, most feared animals on the planet. They don't mess around.
They don't. Brutal. Brutal. Well,
I love that you could have played golf, or no, you could have gone to the track or whatever with Shannon. You're like, I want to go to the zoo. They have a honey badger.
So he went too. And so when we got back, we went to dinner with some people that night, and you would have thought that he had adopted this honey badger the way he talked about it. He was so enamored with this honey badger. I can remember him saying, we got to get one of those in St. Louis.
Did we get a honey badger?
I don't know. I don't think we do.
We got to get the newsroom on this.
He was adamant about having a honey badger.
There's something very funny of thinking about Shannon insisting that we get a honey badger.
Of all things.
Got to get one of those honey badgers.
Yeah.
Big boy?
That's a big boy.
You could name the honey badger Big Boy. I just think we got to make this happen.
Oh, man.
I'm going to leave it up to you guys, because you guys have a lot of pull, because everybody listens to this show.
We have
We have somebody in the listening audience that will help you with the move on us getting our own honey badger in St. Louis.
Ideally,
and his
legally.
Name will be Big Boy.
Big boy.
Big boy?
That's a big boy.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, Klaibs. Hey, Klaibs, a few minutes ago, we're broadcasting live from St. Louis University at the Billikens Grill. We just chatted with Robbie Avila. Have you had many conversations with Robbie yet since he's been here?
No, I haven't. I've talked to more Coach Schertz than I have Robbie. I think Robbie and I met once, but I really don't know him that well. Mm-hmm. I know Coach Schertz because he's a baseball fan, so he'll come by the ballpark and come hang out in the booth. And because of my schedule, I probably won't see them play anymore this year. But I put him on my radar. I understand he's a delightful person. Bob Ramsey speaks very highly of him.
Well, yeah, he was super kind, awesome. I love his nicknames. He's got a lot of great nicknames.
Yeah,
his favorite is Rob Wave.
Rob Wave.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is another.
Yeah, he likes that
popular
Kareem,
one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
That's so good.
I've heard.
It's pretty good.
And
that
when
is
you
so good.
See him physically, you know, he just looks like a tall guy. You know, he doesn't have that physique that you see with so many other athletes. But, you know, the next thing you know, he's got 18 points and 9 rebounds and 9 assists. And, you know, he just puts work in. And that's
what
makes him a fun guy to follow.
That's right. All right, Mike Claiborne, enjoy the cruise. When is it over?
We're done. We pull into Fort Lauderdale tomorrow. And then I'll get off the ship, get in my car, and drive back up to Jupiter. And we'll wait for spring training to start.
And I will say, Klabe's very smart in calling it a ship. I was on a cruise one time, and I kept calling it a boat.
You never call it a boat. No,
don't call it a boat.
They do not like that.
You can call submarines. You can call a submarine a boat, but you do not call a ship a boat.
A boat, no, and not a dinghy. What a avoid.
Okay,
it's not a dinghy.
All right, we have to go. We have to go now, Klabe's. Enjoy your cruise.
Okay. I've already done that, but I'll try and do a little bit more.
Keep going.
Get off.
Thanks,
yeah, you better get off phone before I give you a. I'm going to give you a curfew. Oh. I gave Dane and Hughes a curfew. I'm about to give you one.
Well, you know what? Just find me now. Don't even find me. Not going to happen. Not
Mike Claiborne.
You guys have a great week.
Talk to you next week.
You got it.
That is Mike Claiborne on the Cardinals broadcast this season. Upcoming again, spring training starts less than 2 weeks. The pitchers and catchers will report for the Cardinals. And then, of course, the regular season is coming up. Mm-hmm. Get the Odyssey app because you can listen to this show. And then you can listen to all the podcasts. And you can listen to Cardinals games throughout the regular season right there on your phone.
And keep listening because we have one more pair of Golf Expo tickets to give away today. The St. Louis Golf Expo starts today, goes through Sunday. It's at the St. Charles Convention Center. Be careful while you're listening. Don't call yet and don't call the regular number. You have to call the contest line.
That's right. Chris and Amy from the Billiken Grill at St. Louis University ahead of the Billiken Blizzard presented by Summer at SLU. It's tonight at 6. We are going to be talking to Hannah Wallace, a guard for the women's basketball team at St. Louis University. She is going to join us just after 12:30, also a St. Louis native. She's having a very good season. Jacob Weirson, who is the director of Summer at SLU, is going to join us as well. It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji. We are at the Billiken Grill at St. Louis University. Tonight is the Billiken Blizzard, where the men's team takes on Dayton. It is going to be a whiteout game tonight, so it should be a lot of fun. Brought to you by Summer at SLU, and we're looking forward to it. We talked to Robbie Avila today. We talked to Chris May, the athletic director. We're killing it, man.
Killing it today. And we've got tickets to give away still to the St. Louis Golf Expo. It starts today, so keep listening.
St. Charles Convention Center.
That's right.
A final pair of tickets for the week to give away.
And yesterday we...
Well, hold on. Hold on. Amy, hold your thought.
Oh.
You going to tell them about what we're doing next week?
You're never going to believe it.
Yeah.
The Outlaw Festival.
Outlaw Festival
with
tickets.
Bob Dylan, still alive.
Still alive.
And Willie Nelson.
And there's a movie about him.
Still alive, and they are going to be at the Outlaw Festival, and we will be giving away tickets to that next week, so you need to listen next week.
Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, my God.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Also, here's what I was going to say. In the next hour, we do have our results of our Twitter poll, because yesterday we chatted with Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
In honor of the Rams Super Bowl victory 25 years ago yesterday.
Nuts.
And we asked, who would win, the 99 Rams or the current Chiefs, if they played?
Yeah, the 2022 through 24 Chiefs or the 1999 Rams.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people responded.
Yeah. So we will give you the result. And I have a couple of thoughts on the results, which I think it's interesting. Considering our audience is, I'm very...
Audiences?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the different markets.
Yeah.
We've got people who listen here in St.
Louis. See, Ranj is a pretty big deal in Chicago.
Well, you have no idea.
He's actually pretty huge in
Chicago.
That's right. So he's got a Chicago
My money
audience.
Is no good there.
That's incredible.
That's right. My money is no good in
Chicago. That's why he left. That's why he came here. He just wanted to be a normal guy.
Yeah. I wanted to pay for things for once.
You know how sometimes, like, you know, like famous Cardinals, like David Freese or Albert Pujols, they got to get out of St. Louis because, you know, they just got to live normally occasionally. That's how Chris was in Chicago.
That's right. So I had to come back home just to live like everybody else. Yeah, so I'm really fascinated by these results. I really am. So we're going to talk about that. You should follow us on Twitter, at Chris Amy KMOX. You can watch the show when it's going on Twitter. You can watch it on Facebook. You can watch it on YouTube. So you just find the KMOX channel, which happens to be KMOX 1120. Find the channel. You'll find us. All kinds of great content there. We are, again, at the Billiken Grill at St. Louis University. When we come back, Jacob Wearson, who is the director of summer at SLU, joins us next.